السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. ثم أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ قلتم يا موسى لن نؤمن لك حتى نرى الله جهرة فأخذتكم الصاعقة وأنتم تنظرون. We last left where Allah Azza wa Jal said, or Musa alayhi salam had told them to make tawbah, and each tribe was asked to kill their own members. فَاقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. And they were given this ultimatum by Allah because that was the means by which they were going to earn Allah's repentance and Allah's forgiveness. Now their response, وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَىٰ, and when all of you said, Musa, لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا, we will not believe in you. Actually, I should have translated better. We will not surrender to you. We will not give in to your demands. There are two things that need our attention here from a language point of view. Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't say, وَقَالُوا لِمُوسَىٰ, and they said to Musa. He said, قُلْتُمْ, you said to Musa. Now, what did they say? They said something about Allah, but Allah began in the second person. In other words, Allah is letting them know, I was listening to what you said. You said this. You know how you say this to your children when you're catching them in the act? Did you say that? So Allah is telling them, "You, when you said to Musa, we will not give in to your demands." Now, why did I say not believe? Because nu'min is mentioned, iman. Iman is commonly translated as belief. But iman translates into belief when it comes with the preposition of ba. So if the Arabic was, لَن نُؤْمِنَ بِكَ, then the meaning would have been, we will not believe in you. But actually it says, لَن نُؤْمِنَ Laka. This changes, it alters the meaning of the verb, and this is something subtle in the Arabic language. Verbs can only be translated properly when you see what preposition, what harf they come with. When they come with the lam, it means to give in, to surrender, to give in to somebody's demands, to cave in. So they're saying, we will not compromise on our position. We are not going to comply with your demand. What demand? To kill our own members of our own tribes. We're not about to listen to that. The thing is, there's a reason Allah didn't say we won't believe in you, because they already believe in him as a messenger. That part is there. Even after they believe in him as a messenger, they don't comply with him. That's the problem. So لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ. Then حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا, until we see Allah face to face. جَهْرًا, in manifest. Now Allah began himself with the ayah. You said you want to see me face to face, basically. You're not going to believe until you see me face to face. Then what happened? فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةِ. Then the explosion seized you. The loud sound and the loud explosion seized you. وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ, and you were left staring. While you were all, it is you who were staring. Meaning this punishment came from Allah, which is described as a sa'iqah, and all of them were killed instantaneously. Then, ثُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ. Then we raised you even after you had died. Now in some more recent times, some ulama have tried to look at these ayat figuratively, and they've said, no, their hearts had died and Allah gave their hearts, brought their hearts back to life. But the majority of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when they look at these ayat, they've had pretty much the same thing to say. That is to say that literally they died, and literally Allah Azza wa Jal brought them back to life. And the reason this interpretation exists is not just because there's a legitimate interpretation this way, but because there's a trend. And the trend is that we're overly impressed in the last 100 to 200 years with modern science. And we look at science as the highest form of knowledge. So when we read something in sacred text that doesn't seem very scientific, people coming back to life or water parting or things like that, then new interpretations came out. Things like, oh no, when the water parted, that was just low tide. And then when Fir'aun was coming through, high tide season came again and the water got to them. And things like that. These are interpretations of trying to scientifically justify things which are clearly miracles from Allah Azza wa Jal. And you know, when Allah Azza wa Jal does something especially on his behalf, he takes the attribution to himself. Like he says, بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ or فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرِ. He took it on himself. We parted the sea for you. You know, he didn't just say the sea parted, the sea took the credit for himself. So it's not something we should be impressed with, that watered down necessarily understanding. And even if there was no scientific interpretation, it doesn't reduce our iman in the dead person coming back to life any. And how many times are you going to do that with the, you know, with the shape of a bird being blown into by Isa alayhi salam and it coming back to life?
How are you going to explain that one? When birds are being chopped up and put in different places and they're coming back running by the command of Allah, how are we going to explain that one? So, you know, you can't necessarily reduce Islam to what is now considered the highest form of knowledge. Because we know that the highest form of knowledge is revelation. There's something more than what the eye, what you know, the physical world and the five senses. This is a limited form of knowledge. And Allah has, He told us from the very beginning, there are going to be two kinds of knowledge. He taught Adam alayhi salam the names of all things. And then He said, I'll send guidance from me. Two kinds of knowledge. And so what the knowledge that comes from Him is superior to the knowledge that Adam alayhi salam has at his disposal in this world. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Then He says, then we raised you even after you had died, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ so that you may be grateful. So that you may be grateful. So they're brought back to life. And here, by the way, this time the expected verb was لَعَلَّكُمْ تُطِعُونَهُ so that you may obey Him this time. Because they refused to obey. But Allah says, so that you may be grateful. And so what is derived from this is truly being grateful to Allah is manifest in what? In obedience. The one who is truly grateful to Allah is the one who is obedient. And actually even more so, the one who's truly grateful to Allah is the one obedient to Allah's Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's actual gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the biggest gift Allah sends this ummah is His Messenger. And obeying Him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is an act of showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then He says, وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامِ وَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى and we shaded you, we gave you cool shade with غَمَام. غَمَام is the plural, the mufrad is strange, غَمَامَة with ta marbuta at the end. غَمَام is a word for clouds used in Arabic, but clouds that are, let's just say they're happy clouds. As opposed to, you know, there are clouds that bring that are fearful and frightening clouds, dark clouds, and then there are clouds that are in and of themselves joyful, and those that's the word ghamam. These light clouds were sent upon you as basically a shade. So this and what we find in commentary is these Israelites, they've just crossed the water, they're in the middle of the desert. Obviously, when you have an entire community of people, men, women, children of all ages, old people, you have all these people together. There is no food, it's the desert. And there's insane amounts of heat. I mean, nowadays we get 100 degrees over here, 105, 106, and we stay inside, or we leave the AC on for 10 minutes and then go in the car or something, right? But they're out, there's no shade. That's it, they're there. So the possibility of them just dying of heat, just, you know, we call it heat exhaustion nowadays, right? Just dying of that is very high. Allah sends them shade from the sky by means of the cloud. Then He says, وَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى and we descended upon you manna and salwa. Manna and salwa are two gifts from Allah Azza wa Jal sent to them as far as nutrition is concerned. Man is a kind of, you know, wheat or a grain that when it came into the ground, they were able to produce with it and they can make bread from it. Which essentially, if you want to put it in modern terms, if you really want to be scientific, it's like carbohydrates. And salwa is a kind of bird, so they can eat the meat from it, and it's a kind of bird that we find it wouldn't fly away when they would try to catch it. So they were very easy for them to catch and to cook, which takes care of their proteins. And if you even look at today in modern nutrition, the most essential ingredients or nutrients for the human body are proteins and carbohydrates. So the two essential nutrients are taken care of, but there's still something left. Even if you have food, it's not enough. What must you also have?
Water.
So they've been given shade. They've been given food, but Allah didn't mention the water yet. First He says, كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ consume from the good and pure things that we have provided you with. Another very powerful lesson in these words, not just for them, but for all of humanity. Good and pure things are the ones that Allah provides. And what Allah provides essentially means what Allah made permissible. What Allah put in your rizq, what Allah put in your qadr. That is good and pure for you. And sometimes humanity seeks to eat and consume more than what Allah has provided them, and they go into things that they think are better for them, but they are not good and they're not pure. Tayyib is two things together. This is why I'm using two words to translate it. Good and pure. Both of these things. So, كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَمَا ظَلَمُونَ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ they did not wrong us at all. After all these things they did, Allah says in the end, they didn't do any wrong to us at all. And I didn't say, I added the word at all because ma is used. When you say lam yazlimuna in Arabic, that means they didn't wrong us. Ma zalamuna is akad. It's they didn't wrong us at all. Walakin kanu anfusahum yazlimun. However, they continually only wrong their own selves. They were continuously wronging themselves. These crimes that they did cannot harm Allah. They can only harm themselves. And so they were only digging their hole deeper all this time. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادْخُلُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ And when we told you, enter this city, enter this town. This is a skip in Jewish history because Allah specifically, look, the ayat began, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ So the Israelites, if there's one thing very dear to them, is their history. They know their history very, very, very well. So if you make mention of it even in brief, they know the whole event. Because they've been raised to treasure one thing, and that is their history as a nation that survives so many different trials. And especially their history with Musa alayhi salam is something they treasured a lot, and to this day they treasure. So when Allah azza wa jalla skips around in Surah Al-Baqarah, and He doesn't give us dates and maps, and they traveled northeast, or they traveled, you know, and they here's where the location of the mountain was, or they stayed here for this many days, and this was the name of the hypocrite, or this or that, He doesn't give us any of that. Because first of all, understand the primary audience is people who already know all this stuff. That's one, it's the Israelites themselves. And two, the concern of Qur'an is in history. The concern of Qur'an is to mention the favors Allah had done and get to the lesson itself. The lesson is more important than anything else. So he says, and just to give you some historical background, the Israelites, the Muslims of that time, have followed Musa alayhi salam. They're on the other side. Now Allah has miraculously provided for them. And now, because they were ungrateful to Allah, you know, and they were given opportunities to show obedience to Allah, they failed to do so. The final test from Allah came when they were told, go and, you know, there was this township, which is considered Jericho, the city of Jericho nowadays, and there were a nation that lived there that was very, like they were warrior people. And the Jews were commanded, the Israelites were commanded by Allah to go and fight these people and to take that land that Allah has promised for them. In other words, if you go and fight these people, these wrongdoers, then Allah has guaranteed you victory. That's what Allah told the Israelites. But of course, when they were commanded this under the leadership of Musa alayhi salam, and Musa and Harun alayhi salam, they came with this commandment to the Israelites. What did they say? فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّهَا هُنَا قَاعِدُونَ You and your master, you go fight. We're sitting here. That's what they told him. So now because of this, Allah Azza wa Jal punished them with 40 years of exile. They were given 40 years of wandering in the desert, and according to Jewish history at least, this is the time in which Musa alayhi salam also passed away. And then the next generation of them who was brought under the life of the desert and this hardship came about, who were willing to go and fight for the cause of Allah one more time again. And so under another prophet, which the name is disputed, they came again, you know, to fight. Some say it's Joshua, Yusha ibn Nun, some narrators say, that they fought and they tried to capture the city of Jericho, and this time Allah gave them victory. And that's what Allah is talking about in this ayah, and we'll conclude with it. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادْخُلُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ When we told you, enter the city, فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا Eat from it whatever you want freely, carefree. Where did Allah say this before? Eat from it whatever you want, carefree. You know where He said that before? Jannah. He has said this in Jannah. And now He's saying this to the Israelites in paradise. Can you imagine the gift of Allah to these people? And then He says to them, وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا Only one condition. Was there one condition in Jannah also? There was one condition. Don't eat from that tree. Here also one condition. وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا Enter the door in a state of sajda. And while you are saying, وَحَلِيَ While you're saying, حِطَّة When you enter the city in a state of sajda, means, you know, you're entering on your horses or donkeys or camels, your forehead is on the neck of the animal. So you're entering in a state of sajda, if you're wondering how that works. Okay? And as they're entering it, they're supposed to say the word حِطَّة Hitta in Arabic means, rough translation, forgiveness. But literally, it doesn't mean forgiveness. It's a very beautiful word. Hitta, hatta in Arabic means to bring down. Hatta al-haml, when you take the load off of a donkey or a horse, it's called hatta, right? Allah says hitta because the word hitta implies we are burdened with the load of sins. So take that load off of us. And that's in the word hitta. When you enter, ask forgiveness and ask Allah to remove the burden of sins from you because you've compiled quite a few. حِطَّةٌ نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ If you say that, if you could just do that much, we will forgive as a result all of your mistakes. خَطَايَاكُمْ وَسَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ And we will increase those who excel from here on out, meaning not only a clean slate, I'm willing to increase you in reward on top of that too, just for you fulfilling one condition. Enter in a state of sajda and continually say حِطَّة Inshallah ta'ala, we'll read tomorrow what they said instead. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن الحكيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم والسلام عليكم